Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, the bad, Ablett and Fife. The ugly, Dane Rampey. And the good, Jared Roughead. And where the Eagles and Dockers sit after round 8.
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. It's Tuesday, so that means it's time for the first edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. Big weekend of incidents and issues and results and a couple of upsets thrown into the bargain. I am Mark Duffield. I'm the senior football writer of the West Australian. With me in the studio, Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. We're brought to you by Tab Touch. Quarters, I'm going to open with a bit of poetry today.
Yes, please do. Marvel, Wordsworth.
What a wicked web it weaves when the tribunal hands out flawed reprieves.
Very good, Duff. I like it. Do you want me to recite some Marvel? No, I won't. I won't do that. mate, we saw the good, the bad, the ugly over the weekend. We'll just get the really ugly out the way first. The high contact.
Raised forearms
to the back of the head, to the side of the head, wherever it is.
So let's sum this up in a nutshell. Nathan Fyfe will play this week against Essendon because Gary Ablett played last week against North Melbourne.
And Gary Ablett will play this week because he played last week.
Correct. So we have now two interpretations on lifted forearms that hit players in the head. One is BG, as in before Gaz, where it's pretty much automatically deemed intentional. And even if it's low impact, you get a week. And then there's AG, after Gaz, when basically he got off because they couldn't bear to see him suspended. And then Nathan Fyfe basically didn't even get cited, because how could they cite Nathan Fyfe when Gary Ablett had been let off? And they will deny this till the cows come home. But, I mean, it's there as plain as the nose is on our faces. That is what has happened. Little Gaz shouldn't have been an issue, because he shouldn't have been playing.
Yeah, he should have gone the first week.
And
Would have gone the first week. Little Gaz should have gone again at the weekend. Fife should have gone at
Fife
the weekend.
Should have gone. Yeah.
I'm really confused about a number of issues, Duff, and one of them is impact. From what I could see, there was quite substantial impact. Fortunately, the players weren't injured, but I just think that there's the scope there for serious injury, and now they've created a bit of a rod for their backs.
Well, what they do is they reinforce the behaviour, don't they?
Yep.
The whole reason why they were deeming lifted forearms that hit players in the head as intentional was to stamp out the behaviour. Because you know that if this happens 15 or 20 times, sooner or later someone gets knocked out or someone gets a broken jaw or both. And when that happens, the feces hits the rotating oscillator and some poor schmuck ends up with a broken jaw or a concussion issue, and another poor schmuck ends up with 8 weeks on the sidelines.
Mm, let's hope it doesn't filter down, Duff, because it is mimicked. What happens on the AFL field is mimicked. So let's hope that there's some common sense prevailed. That's the ugly. Let's go to the bad. And Dane Rampey, now I'll state from the start, I am a big Rampey fan, always have been. In fact, he was magnificent in the final term against Essendon on Friday night. But Essendon won that game of football, Duff. He climbed and shook a goalpost. The goalpost moved. That's against the rules. It's a free kick on the goal line. Essendon wins. I'd be filthy if I was Essendon over that result. And I'm surprised that they haven't stood up and argued their case. Equally so, John Longmire's silence on the issue has been damning, particularly last night when he's asked, didn't want to buy into it. Well, it's no wonder, John, because you have dodged a bullet here. You really have. You've got the 4 points when you shouldn't have. And I'll just read you out a Dane Rampey quote too, Duff. By no means did I mean any disrespect to them umpires. Really?
This is when he said they talk like little girls.
Really? Okay. It's pretty disrespectful where I come from. He didn't have a... mixed in a fine on-field performance was just but brain fade.
Why is he again? And this is where the whole AFL judiciary, from the umpires up, are picking and choosing which rules they enforce and which rules they don't. When Rampy says that to the umpire, 50 metres.
Yep.
Back you come, and make it a good 50. You want to speak to me like that, you're copping 50.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
And then he doesn't have to write a please explain because he's just been walloped on the field. Then he gets a walloping from his coach for being undisciplined, which would have made two walloping. Apparently there was, if you could read lips.
Oh, yeah.
When Rampy goes back into the change, I climbed the goalpost.
Yeah, yeah. What did you do? Did you?
You did what? That's a free kick.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, and I don't think we have to be master lip readers either. That's exactly what was said. Now, the good. I want to talk about the good. And there's a lot of good out of this weekend, and we'll get onto all of that in a moment. But Jared Ruffhead, going back to VFL ranks, playing with Box Hill, kicking five, and then giving a bit of a football lesson to his opponent, Reuben Williams. I just thought that was magnificent, Duff. It's what we expect from the bloke, and, you know, full credit to him.
Yep, absolutely. All class, as we expected. I'm going to hand on a bouquet as well to Ruffy's coach, Alistair Clarkson. I think probably the coaching performance of the year
You picked this last week. I didn't think they'd have the cattle.
I didn't pick it. I said it was a chance. If I had the guts, I would have tipped it. But I did have a feeling about it. I actually had a feeling about Sydney against Essendon, the SCG as well.
Yeah.
But didn't have the courage to pick either. He pulled GWS's pants down. The only way to describe it. When a team as talented as GWS kicks 38 points over four quarters of footy, they have been completely discombobulated
by the opposition. Two after the final siren, Duff, in the second half. Which is damning. There's a real... So 2-14, they are now at the MCG. Now, we can weight it a bit heavily in their early years. They lost a lot in their early years.
Yeah, I think you need to...
But I would suggest that in recent times, you know, there's still an issue there.
Yeah.
And they need to be able to work out... Because they are talented enough to be able to cut their and side their way through the wall that Hawthorn put up. Now, they tried to kick themselves out of it, and they just didn't work. But the plan B wasn't there at the weekend, so I don't know how they go about it. Do they use handball more efficiently? But they need a process, and they haven't got one at the moment, and that's a concern for them because they're a talented bunch.
They are. They're very talented, but that said, that was as good as Hawthorn were and as great as Alistair Clarkson was, and he was great in two ways. One, clearly the game plan he's come up with has completely nutted them. And two, he was prepared to make brave and bold statements, A, after the game, when he prepared his players for what was coming, and then B, having the courage to drop someone like Ruffhead.
Yep.
And basically said, you know, we don't hover, you know, sort of down in that middle to lower reach of the ladder. We will do something about it.
But that's his go, Duff. He's had the same conversation with Hodge, Lewis, Mitchell, as he's had with Ruffhead. The word was pre-season that Mitch Lewis was ahead of Ruffhead in the pecking order.
Yep.
So you have to prove to me that you're our first choice. And he's had those conversations in the past. His edict is the club is always put before the individual, and that includes himself. He said, one day I'll go. I'll get the tap on the shoulder and I'll be gone.
Mm.
And as long as the club's first, I'll have no argument with that. Richmond Freo Duff, let's pull apart the good and the bad from all the rounds, round eight of the AFL. Richmond, 25-point winner over Freo at Optus Stadium. And if you're talking about great performances, now this is surely one from Richmond, minus a number of their champions, although we probably saw the emergence of a few others at the weekend, Shire Bolton in particular.
Look, this was I had this one down as a victory for method over manpower. And the thing that really impressed me about Richmond is that they still have that total and unwavering belief in the method, in the surge football.
Pace and pressure.
Just the ball has to go forward. It has to go forward at speed. And you have to have the numbers around it to back it up so that when it spills, even if it looked like a Fremantle player had made a strong tackle and affected the disposal. When the ball spilt, it still spilt into the hands of a surging Richmond player. I I couldn't have been more impressed.
And I'm still stunned that they're still able to pull this method off. Now, my only question mark over Richmond for the rest of this year is, given their numbers are down a bit, and we've seen they've lost a couple more over the weekend, are they going to be able to maintain this? Because it's a pretty hard game plan to maintain.
It is, but, you know, when you look at it, there are different ways to wear players out. Richmond's method, it's very high energy and it requires very high intensity. But they're also, it requires fewer possessions quarters. So you look at guys like Ellis and Lambert were able to have massive impact on the game at the weekend off far fewer possessions than, say, their Fremantle counterparts. So, yeah, it will require high intensity and they have to muster that intensity week after week after week. But they still got upside from Dustin Martin, I think. They've still got upside from a few other players. They'll get Cochin back at some point. They'll get Rioli back at some point.
Rance still says he'll be a chance late in the year. I'll believe that when I see it. But
Nate
Curvis is out for a lengthy period now, 8 weeks. And they've lost Ross as well with syndesmosis. So that's not good for them. But, you know, lots of light. Frio, did we see a bit of the same again? They had their chances, and again, inaccuracy. Matera's been good, but 1-4, I think he kicked at the weekend.
I like Brandon Matera's game, though, because he created the chances, and that's always been the issue with Brandon as to whether he creates enough opportunities for himself to really impact the game. He did that on the weekend. I thought Fife was magnificent.
Well, 3 goals, 2 duff, so he's kicking them.
Yeah. And
we have been making that comment in the past. We want Fife to kick more goals.
They came out dozy. They got jumped. They were 25 points down. The margin ended up being 25 points, but really it felt like more than that watching the game. It felt like Richmond had control of the game. I think Fremantle's midfield has found its level over the last 2 weeks against Adelaide and Richmond, and they've got some work to do there. Connor Blakely should have played on the weekend. They can't afford to have a player of Connor Blakely's ability sitting in the grandstand when they're peddling that midfield out there. At the end of the day, they got very big games out of Fife, Walters and Mundy, and they were still out-grunted through the midfield, and Richmond were able to move the ball far more quickly and decisively. And the other thing, quarters, I reckon, is that one of their tall forwards in particular, has to come up at the ball carrier more often because they're getting very predictable with this long bomb in. That is easily spoilt, and then opposition teams are running the ball out. Adelaide did it in Adelaide against them, and then Richmond did it on Sunday. So
we're talking about a Richmond defence that's minus a couple of soldiers too.
Yeah, mind you, Dylan Grimes is a hell of a player, which we've known, and he was excellent again on the weekend. And Bashir Hooley played one of the better games I've seen him play as well. So it's not the end of the world for Fremantle, but I think they've got some decisions to make at the selection table ahead of the game against Essendon this weekend.
Well, we assume that Blakely's one of them coming in.
Well, he should have been playing on Sunday. I think that's what, you know, 2 games in the waffle is more than enough to get a player of Connor Blakely's capacity ready to play AFL footy, and I think he would have offered more than several of their players on the weekend.
The other local team, West Coast, 18-point victory over St Kilda. Workmanlike has been a term used oft over the weekend to describe it, and I think it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, you know what? Of all their sort of meanderings over the last month, and there have been a few, you know, with the loss to Port Adelaide and the loss to Geelong and then sort of, you know, games against others, against Fremantle and Gold Coast that sent some pretty mixed messages. I thought this was a step forward, this one. I liked the fact that their lesser lights gave them more. So I liked the fact that Oscar Allen had 13 touches and kicked 2 goals.
Venables was okay.
One of the better games I've seen Venables play. And Venables really has struggled to find much of the footy since the back half of last year. I think that one of the things we perhaps have missed a bit with West Coast when we've been looking at, you know, whether their hunger is there and whether their intensity is there, they've been playing with a pretty long tail in cricket terminology. You know, their bottom end, like in the Geelong game, half the team had 10 possessions or less. And that certainly changed a bit on the weekend. They got more out of Nathan Vardy. They got more out of Oscar Allen. They got more out of Daniel Venables. Jake Waterman, I still like him in the structure because I think he plays well in the structure. He understands his role. And I think he enables the other players to play better. They got back to that balance between midfielders and forwards that they had throughout much of last year, where they took a midfielder out, and obviously Chris Marston paid the price there to enable them to bring Waterman in. They look better in that regard. They've still got some upside from some of their key players, but they're getting it done, and they'll probably be Melbourne this
week.
That's
the key. What, they're fifth now? Fifth, sixth?
Yeah. And they'll,
so they're hanging in there. They're thereabouts and not losing any ground.
Yeah.
Just hanging in there, not playing brilliant football, but enough to get the job done, and that's a sign of a good side.
Well, certainly
wasn't McGovern's greatest game either.
You know what I liked about his game, though? He was negated in the air, and he still impacted. You know, he fetched balls off the ground and turned attacks around, opposition attacks around, into West Coast counterattacks by fetching the ball off the ground and playing well at ground level.
He can consider himself a little stiff too. Cops are fine. The other two walk away.
Yeah, it was a long way off the ball. I mean, he was never going to get suspended for that. But again, at the start of the year, they were going to clamp down on that stuff. And then they let Ben Cunnington off about 70 times for donging blokes away from the ball in the stomach. And so suddenly, McGovern, there was a fair impact on Akers. So at the start of the year, I would have thought they would have been, Jeremy McGovern would have been worried. But after what's happened to all other players that have done what he did, he would have been thinking, well, it's a fine, if anything else. The guy who's stiff.
Durden.
Sam Durden.
A week.
He feels like Nathan Fyfe felt in 2014 with the head clash with Michael Riscatelli.
Feel like the weight of the world's on his shoulders.
And, you know, when he'll look at everything else that's gone on around over the weekend, and he'll go, well, I've done my best. And he put his hip into him first, and their bodies sort of got caught at odd angles, and the heads came into contact with each other. And he's going to think, I'm a bit stiff, I reckon.
The other Sunday game stuff, we've mentioned Hawthorn GWS, good win to the Hawks. The only concern there is a bit of concern from the Hawks over the 14,500. Impacted by Mother's Day, obviously. Impacted by the fact that it's at the G. They wanted the game played in Tasmania, and they're now of the belief that there is a vendetta, and the AFL wants them out of Tasmania. They want North in there.
Yep.
They've got some argument. I think there's some merit in that argument.
Hawthorn have?
Yes, I believe so.
That there is an AFL vendetta? Don't you reckon it works?
Not necessarily a vendetta, but I just think they prefer North to be down there.
Don't you think it works better in terms of viable clubs and marginal clubs? It probably works better for the AFL and for football if North gets all of Tasmania.
Yeah, I don't mind the split, actually.
Yeah.
It's a very split island duff.
We know this. And not necessarily just in two either.
That's right.
There's also Burnie and Devonport and all those places. So.
Yeah, there are.
But there's certainly... yes, there's never the twain shall meet between Hobart and Launceston.
The other Sunday game worth mentioning is Geelong v North Melbourne at Marvel Stadium. Now, if not for some brilliance from Little Gaz, and let's put the raised elbow to the side for one moment, because he's playing some pretty special footy, and Tim Kelly, amongst others, he is probably ahead in the Brownlow. Maybe Bont, maybe Cripps if he's polled enough, but he's playing well, Kelly. North were a real chance here. They were a real chance. They weren't far off the mark.
They were a bit like St Kilda in the game against West Coast, though, weren't they? You always felt they were.
There was always the answer. A nice little goal from Little Gaz, too, just to seal it.
He can play. I mean, and all those that are barking at us because we're saying the tribunal shouldn't let it.
Well, he shouldn't have been playing, but he was playing, and you cannot deny
his brilliance.
But
a couple of weeks ago, we were lauding him for his inside 50 work.
And we still are.
And we still do. He's a champion. He doesn't cease to be a champion.
No.
Just because
he's just
a
lucky champion. Yeah. Very lucky champion.
Yeah.
A very, very lucky champion.
There is no more skillful player when they lay the ball across the boot and do that hook kick. Yeah. Ablett, he's a 10 out of 10.
He is.
With that kick. He's damn near perfection. And he did it again a couple of times on the weekend. And as soon as he did it, you just knew it was going to be two flags waved.
Comes from pretty good footy stock as well. Saturday, what did you think of the showdown? 20-point win to Adelaide. And Port, again, Adelaide hit the snooze button late in the game, and Port was some sort of a chance. But it got the job done. Have just quietly slipped into the four, Adelaide. Caught us all unawares.
They're quite doer through, now, aren't they?
Yes, they are. A side that's now becoming more renowned for its defence than its offence, which is certainly not the case in 2017 when they surged all the way to the grand final.
And the key here is, one, the return of Brody Smith that gives them some extra class across halfback. Luke Brown back in the team on the weekend. Great lockdown small defender.
Lynch has found some form too, that connect between to the forwards from the mids.
But down their back end, Alex Keith.
Yeah, showdown medalist at the weekend.
Alex Keith. So he may be the most improved player in the AFL as we speak. And his ability to impact both in the air and at ground level, it's taken pressure off Daniel Talia. It's meant the loss of Doty and Jake Lever before Doty has basically been cancelled out, and they still get the rebound and the high numbers from Laird and Smith running off halfback. And they're starting to loom in the rear vision mirror. Yeah, you don't have them alongside the likes of Geelong and Collingwood just yet, but they're there in the mirror and they're not getting any further behind.
Yeah, it's not a Kenworth grill yet that you're looking at, is it?
No.
Or a Mack truck grill.
No.
It's a big utility you can see in the rear vision
mirror.
Well,
it's a set of lights that just...
You can see it, yeah.
You can see them there and you go around a corner and then they come around the corner a little after you and they're still there and they're not getting any further back. So well done to Don Pike, I think, for steadying the ship. I always thought they were going to win this. When you look at the manpower available and you look at Port
had a 6-goal final term to Port, you know, missing a lot of players, fair play to them. They lost nothing at the weekend.
Yeah, no, they battled on and that's what you want in a situation like that. What did you make of Collingwood v Carlton first?
Extraordinary game. Well,
who was your best on ground, by the way? Because I had a split between Cripps and Grundy.
Yeah.
I noticed the coaches both went with Cripps.
I'll probably get to go with Cripps.
Yeah.
My concern with Cripps, and we've said this for a couple of years now, Duff, is this going to wear him down? Because he's carried that team for a long time.
Geez, he's done some miles, hasn't he?
Oh, he's carried
and that. Not on sealed roads either. And, he's done some hard yards.
Look at his individual stats all across the board. He's approaching records. I mean, this guy is carrying this football team.
Yeah.
It concerns me. It really does. I hope the rest of them can catch up with him. So look, they were a bit stiff. They ultimately, as we've seen so often this season, just didn't lack that killer punch. Just could not get the job done. Playing against a side that knows how to get the job done.
Yeah,
that was the difference for mine. I don't think the 24-8 free kick count helped. Although Brendan Bolton, good on him. Could have moaned about it, but didn't want to get stuck into the umpires. It was a fascinating game. It was one of those games you're watching it and you're thinking, geez, they're waiting for Collingwood to surge forward.
Yeah.
Oh, it happened ultimately, but they waited till very late in the game. But, Carlton needed to respond after the pathetic performance the week before, and they certainly did.
Okay, follow-up question on Grundy. How far is Brody Grundy away from the best player in the competition at the moment?
Oh, he'd be in the top four or five. Have to be.
Yeah. He's gone ahead of Max Gawn as the best ruckman in the comp as well.
I think statistically Gawn, AFL still rank him higher, Gawn. But, yeah. If you were picking your side, Duff, and you had him old style against the wall and you had to pull him out, you'd be picking Grundy ahead of him. He's a terrific player.
Absolutely. His ability to do what Dean Cox used to do around the ground, get that 20 to 25 possessions. I think he went forward and kicked 2 goals on the weekend, had 25 touches, 48 hit-outs. I thought he was magnificent.
Don't take this the wrong way, but he's a beautiful-looking athlete too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got the he's well-built for a tall man playing footy. He's got the long body, short legs.
Yeah.
Which is what Wayne Carey had to a degree. It enables him to play well at ground level as well as play strongly in the air. It's a good build for a footballer.
I remember just on that, a little side note, I just remember interviewing John Longmire when he was a North Melbourne player at the old Arden Street. And there's pre-Carey, and anyway, I was talking to him and there's a bloke doing laps and I said, he looked a bit odd. And I said, who's that? And he said, that's the Duck. I said, who's the Duck? And he said, Wayne Carey, and you'll be hearing a bit about him. Well, you weren't wrong, John. You got that right. What about Melbourne v Gold Coast? A 1-point win. Is that the most extraordinary, 19 seconds of footy you've ever seen?
So Nick Holman kicks the goal that puts the go-ahead goal, basically.
And we're all sitting back thinking, oh, well, that's...
No, I still thought Melbourne could tie.
Given that you can't get a player back.
But I didn't think they could win. To kick 7 points in 40 seconds of footy.
Oh, it's incredible.
Amazing.
The rush behind, they tried to stuff it up. But is it Tommy McDonald?
Tommy McDonald dropped the mark at the top of the square.
But, you know, and look, I'll give credit to Stewie Jew here, the Gold Coast coach. you felt his frustration, and he articulated his frustration, but at the same time he said, you know, previous years you get an umber back and you don't lose the game. Or at least you draw. But he said, you know, I'm pleased for the game that sides are able to do that. And I tend to agree with him.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, I think Stewie knows he's going all right.
Oh, he's going well.
Like for the available manpower, they're batting well above their weight.
So here's a question. For the available manpower, is he coach of the year at this point?
Oh.
See, I'm saying he just about is.
Yeah, he's in the ballpark. I think there's a lot of people coaching very well.
I think they've been in every game. Yeah. Maybe bar one or two, say 85% of their games they've been in.
Yeah. Chris Scott's coached very well. He's restructured their forward line, changed their method a little bit. He's got good manpower to do it with.
It's an interesting conversation.
But I think he's been very good. And I do like the way Don Pike has steadied Adelaide as well and shifted their method as well. I think that's when you know coaches are impressive, when they can shift the method a little bit and get a positive outcome. And I think Pike has been able to do that. Jew's been wonderful at Gold Coast. And I think Chris Scott has been very good at Geelong.
And just the last game, Western Bulldogs 16-point winners over Brisbane. So it looked as though Brisbane was going to run away with it at half time. And to their credit, the Dogs dug in. Now, there's a lot to like about this, possibly with a midfield now that could match any team. And I also really like the game of Aaron Norton in that he was very quiet up to half time.
Yep.
And then slipped in with three, including one that sort of sealed it late. So it's a lot to like about a kid in his second year of footy. And a fair bit of publicity about him last week. And had a quiet first half, but still had the wherewithal to go to put his imprimatur on the game. So well done.
That's when you know you got a good one. When he's been completely nutted to halftime by a very good player,
yeah.
Harris Andrews, and then he comes out after halftime and manages to impact the game, have an influence on the result. Josh Dunkley.
Yes. Huge, best game for 2-3 years.
Huge game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's another one of those players that had early premiership success and it's taken them a while to regather and get the hunger back and really go forward with their careers as we thought they might.
And you throw him in with a Bont, McRae, Wallace,
Hunter,
Libba. There's a lot to like in there.
It's a good midfield. Mm. Yeah. There's going to be a lot hanging on Norton and Billy Gowers as the season goes on.
Well, that was
there?
The question mark pre-season was not really whether their midfield was deep enough. It was who was going to catch it.
Yeah.
But they've proven so far that they've been able to. So, let's see how they develop. Still a long way to go.
I agree. So we've got a big round 9 coming up this weekend. I get the feeling, Quarters, we're heading into the sort-out period of the season. I think there's a lot of teams have had fast starts with their close to their best available out there. A few of the contenders have had slowish starts and are starting to gather momentum now.
Casualty ward is building too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a brutal game now.
Mm.
And I think the 6-6-6 thing has contributed to that too. A lot of it's played at high tempo now. There's a lot of players moving at speed, whereas before they were moving from contest to contest to contest. I think the high casualty ward is something we're going to have to get used to, I think. And not just in impact injuries, but soft tissue injuries as well, because there's more explosive running being done at the moment, I suspect. But I'm really looking forward to the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think it's going to be really absorbing to see who stands up and who falls over. Quarters, we should mention before we go, glory, glory, glory.
Oh, yeah.
Go the Perth most boys.
Extraordinary, captivating, painful, excruciating 5 minutes, 10 minutes of your life watching that penalty shootout last Friday night. Incredible stuff.
Yep.
And with the storyline of Liam Reddy who kicks one and saves four, just incredible stuff.
And a few of them, if they were playing golf, they had very poor club selection. A few of those taking the penalties, they pulled out the putter when they really needed the one wood.
Yeah.
there was a couple of pretty feeble efforts in amongst
that. Whether you're a follower of the world game or not, but if you're a West Australian, get along to Optus Stadium on Sunday night.
Absolutely.
And support the team in purple.
Yep.
Just get out there.
Yeah. Well, let's get 50,000 bums on seats there. Let's have a rip-roaring atmosphere. Let's make it an occasion to remember. Perth doesn't get to host many grand finals in many things. So Let's everyone get along there and get behind our boys, because they're up against a pretty formidable
6-1 semi-final winners. So
they're in pretty good nick.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll come here with a fair head of steam and a fairly,
as they should,
fairly healthy ego as well.
As they should.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll be back on Thursday to run through the round 9 and the tips and our expectations of what's going to happen. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.